All right, I got a theme song to get us in the mood this morning. Here it comes, really right now. It's coming. Oh, that feel good? Would you believe if I said I used to work out to that song? I was the coolest person at the gym.
Yeah.
The Golden Girls TV series was a big deal. It was on for 7 seasons, from 1984 to 1992. The first 6 seasons ranked in the top 10 of all shows, and then in the 7th season, as shows often do, it dropped down to 30, but that's not bad, right? The Golden Girls finale was watched by 27.2 million viewers. And as of 2010, that final episode ranked as number 17 of the most watched finales. The Golden Girls received 68 Emmy nominations, won 11 Emmy Awards, and 4 Golden Globe Awards. And this is very cool. All the lead actresses won Emmy Awards for their performances on the show. Only 3 shows in the history of TV has ever done this. Any ideas which one? I thought that one too, but no. Here we go. It's Golden Girls, Simpsons. Interesting. This is something you can share at brunch today. Will and Grace. And I thought the last one was Seinfeld. I really did. It is not. All in the Family. Thank you for that excitement. Thank you. All right. Even today, okay, years later, there are Golden Girls fan clubs that still exist. Blogs. I don't know what they write about nowadays, but blogs dedicated to it, forum discussions. You can get jewelry. And I kid you not, you can get Golden Girls Mount Rushmore tattoos. All right? That's where we're going after church today. It's a big deal. And I don't know if you believe this, but this is true. Lego is in negotiations for a Golden Girls Lego. They only need like 5,000 more votes, and they're going to make this happen. Please cast your vote today. All right? That's very exciting things. And if you've never watched this show, I don't despair, because I'm going to kind of go through a little brief synopsis about it. Place in Miami, Florida, all right? And it goes around 4 women. Dorothy, she's a substitute teacher. She's born in New York City to Sicilian immigrants. She marries Stanley. They're married for 38 years. They move to Miami. Stanley leaves her for a young flight attendant. They have 2 to 3 children, and this is actually a writer's error. Sometimes they say they have 2 kids, sometimes they say 3 kids, and they admit that they just made a mistake. So she has 2.5 children, and Dorothy is known out of the Golden Girls as the stable, grounded one. So, you know, like I play with my friends, the stable, grounded one. Rose is the next one. She's the Norwegian-American from the small farming town of St. Olaf, Minnesota. She married Charlie. She had 5 kids. Charlie dies. She relocates to Miami. She is known but for her bizarre but true stories about St. Olaf. So she's the Golden Girl that's innocently bizarre. Okay? Blanche. All right, Blanche. Yeah, I see by your reaction you've seen Blanche in action. Yeah, she's what makes this service PG-13. She's the Southern Belle. She's employed in an art museum. She's born into a wealthy Atlanta, Georgia family. She marries George. She has 6 children. He dies. She relocates to Miami, and she's known as the man-hungry, extremely confident one of the group. All right? The next one is Sophia. This is Dorothy's mom. Okay, she was born in Sicily. She moved into New York City after fleeing an arranged marriage because she wants nothing to do with that. She marries Salvador. She has 3 kids. Dorothy is one of them. She was a resident at Shady Pine Retirement Home until the place caught fire. They have no proof it was her. And she then moved in with Blanche, Rose, and Dorothy. She is the feisty, let me tell you how it is, Golden Girl. Many of us have friends like that. So I want you to think of these ladies as like the more mature Miami version of Sex and the City, okay? 4 ladies, 4 different personalities, only difference, orthotics versus stilettos, okay? And during the Golden Girls series, almost every storyline, there was 173 episodes of this classic TV show, and it always followed this format. One of the girls would have a conflict, okay? Something was happening either with their children or men or some type of ethical dilemma or a problem with their job or their neighbor. And then they would meet around the kitchen table to discuss it with cheesecake. There was always cheesecake there.
And so they would come up with some decisions. One girl would tell a story about their life that somehow applied to it, but not really. And then they would laugh together and they would cry together and they'd come up with some type of next step direction. Around this table is where they received guidance, right? This is where they received those answers to life's confusions and predicaments and quandaries. And sometimes the advice was good and it all panned out, but sometimes the advice was very, very, very bad and it even caused more conflict. But this is where they sought guidance to their life's problems or need of direction. It's no different than like the barbershop, you know, or some people do this around Starbucks, and I know all these people are good looking models, but you know, they're worried, they got problems too. Or at the gym, what direction do I take? Or social media has now played that part. Social media, how many times have you seen in your Facebook feed someone with a dilemma, right? So whether it's, help, my child won't eat vegetables. That should be exclamation point, but question. What should I do, right? And then everybody has an idea of how you get your child to eat vegetables, and it just starts streaming and streaming and streaming, and people who don't even have kids or know what a vegetable is giving advice and some sort of guidance. I mean, it's beautiful that you and I have communities like this, right? And we have a bunch of different communities depending on what the question is or what kind of guidance we want, right? If you have problems with your kids or parenting, you usually go to your friends who have had problems with their kids or parenting. Don't go to the people who have it all together. They make you feel bad about yourself. You go to the people who had problems and it's panned out, you know? So you go to them for advice. Or if you have problems with dating, you go to your single friends who had problems with dating and now are happily settled down. If you have problems with your parents, you get together and you gripe about other parents together. And then you come to healthy solutions to resolve that problem you have with your parents, right? For ideas for college or jobs, you go to people who have had success with jobs and college and resumes and applications. If you have a problem with money managing, who do you go to? You go to people who have navigated through money problems and who have come out really good at finances. If you need direction with your marriage, you go to someone who maybe has had marital problems but have found success and stuck with it. If you need direction for your business, you go to someone who's had success in growing and sustaining their business. We all have a go-to guy. We all have a group of people that we go to that has had some type of success in an area that we can go to for guidance, right? The Golden Girls were each other's go-to. That's who they went to for guidance. So if you think, don't yell it out loud, but who are your go-to persons? When you're in need of guidance, who do you instantly go to? And if we are honest, the average person, their go-to person is the person that you know is going to tell you what you want to hear. Right? You go to that person, you're like, that person's going to tell me exactly what I want to hear from my guidance. Or you go to the person that makes you feel good no matter what. You know, you might be in a crisis or dilemma, you don't know what to do, but that person's going to bring me down, make me feel okay. Or frankly, you go to the person that just picks up the phone all the time, right? The person who will always answer the phone because you really need an answer right now. There's many situations that we need guidance on, and sometimes we put them in a hierarchy. For instance, my marriage is struggling. We might go to a friend. We might not like that friend says, we go to another friend. Might go to a family member, maybe on our side of the family line. We might go to another family member if we didn't like what that was said, or might search online, because there's a lot of advice online about marriages, or we might go to a pastor, or we might go to a counselor, or we might go to God, right? Our kids are going through something difficult. We might go to the school social worker. We might go to other parents. We might go to a support group. We might go to online help again. We might go to a family member, might go to the church, we might go to Dr. Phil, you know, might go to God. We're feeling sad, lonely, or depressed. We might go to a friend. We might watch a sad movie on Netflix to intensify it and get a good cry. We might buy a self-help book or a magazine. We might watch Oprah reruns, you know, we might do that if we're feeling sad. We might consult a professional. We might go to God. I mean, these orders can be all switched around for us, and it's not bad to go to someone to talk to about a situation, but the point I'm trying to make is we often wait till we have exhausted all of our guidance circles before we go directly to God for guidance, help, and wisdom. Well, God, I've exhausted everybody, and Veronica's not even picking up her phone anymore, so you got to help me out in this situation right now. I'm not sure why we fall into those patterns. I'm not sure why we fall into those patterns of this immediate list that we go to, because God assures us this, that he will not only give us the right guidance, but he'll give us assurance of guidance. And assurance of guidance sounds really, really good, right? Because I think one of the reasons that we hold off on asking God directly for help is because we're not sure he's going to give us guidance. Or we're not sure we're going to know if God is giving us guidance. And we're not sure if we're going to be hearing God right on his guidance. And so we just kind of skip that step altogether and we go to our long list of people that we check in, our circle, our cheesecake eaters that we go to for our guidance. But assurance of guidance means that God promises guidance. He promises to lead. He promises to not just guide us, but to perfectly guide us. He promises that he knows all our unique individual needs. He promises that he has enough wisdom and help and power and riches for our best possible life. He promises all of this to us. And that sounds really, really great. And there's not a person here this morning that can argue that God giving us perfect guidance is not great. It's better than great. But God places a condition on it. He places one of these on it. God promises to perfectly guide us if we fully rely on him. This is the hard part. Oh, my verse didn't come up there, but let me tell you what it is. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. There are conditions to God's leading. And we shouldn't be shocked by this because we understand the philosophy of conditions, right? So we shouldn't be shocked when our Heavenly Father puts a condition on his guidance. Think of this. Meet my personal trainer. All right, here he is. I promise you will achieve all your fitness goals by year end. That's a promise that he made to me of guidance. Here's my financial advisor, Timmy. I promise you, you will double your financial portfolio by fall. Here's my basketball coach, John. I promise you will dunk the ball by end of the season. He doesn't say which season, but he promises me this, all right? Here's my ACT coach. I promise you will pull a 36 at the next test. All of these promises of guidance have conditions to them. Go back to my trainer. I promise you, you will meet all your financial goals if you do what I say, which is eating right and exercising and getting sleep and taking vitamins. My financial advisor says, you can meet all your financial portfolio dreams if you do what I say. That means saving and cutting back and spending wisely and investing. My basketball coach tells me this. You can have all this if you do what I say by eating right and training, growing 36 inches and jumping a lot, all right? He tells me these things. My ACT tutor says, you can have a 36 on your next test if you take practice tests. Have a sharp number two pencil. Learn some test-taking tricks and skills and get a good night's sleep. The condition is, if you do what I say, I will guide you, but you need to do what I say. And a lot of time, you and I, we feel directionless. We really do. We don't know what to do next or where to go. Some of us don't know what we're going to do when we grow up, right? Or who to be with, or where to live, or what job to take, who to date, how to make boundaries with your kids and with your moms and your dads and your brothers and sisters and friends. What to fill our lives with and what to take out of our lives, when to fight and stand up for yourself, when to walk away, when to pursue something, when to let it go. We all need guidance, right? We all need it. But there's an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-needs-supplying through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that says, I will lead you, and I will direct you, and I will give you exactly what you want if you do what I say. That's God's will. That's God's will. I mean, we all need that. You've probably heard that many times in your life, God's will. Someone may say to you, if it's God's will, it will happen. But God's will doesn't work that way. God can do anything, and God has a big plan, and God is going to make sure that that big plan is done. But what God does in us as individuals has a lot to do with us, right? It doesn't automatically happen because it's God's will. There are conditions for us if we want to experience God's will for our life that we have to do. It comes down to God's will is if you do what I say. And the only way you're going to do what God instructs you to do is if you want God's guidance for your life. We all click, oh yeah, of course I want God's guidance for my life. Do you? Do I? Do you really want God's guidance for your life? Because what does that look like? Do you want God's guidance for your marriage or your future relationship? Do you want God's will for your job and for your finances? Do you want God's will for your next steps in the future? Do you want God's will for a struggling relationship you're having with a friend or a family member? Do you want God's will for your college, the college that you go to, and each and every minute of your college life days? Contrary to popular belief, God's will does not give you a four-year pass when you go to college, okay? God's will is the same those 4 years. If you want what God wants of your life, he doesn't say, hey, take off 4 years, come back to me when you're all done, or you had too much alcohol intake. God says, my will for you is for each and every day. Do you want God's will for each and every day and aspect of your life? Do you want God's will for your thoughts? He even cares about those. Or for your words, or what you share with others, or how you react in tough and tempting situations. Do you want God's will for your actions? If you do, then there's a condition. You don't see what that verse is, but I'm going to read it to you again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. There are three conditions in this verse. The very first one, which you can't even see here, so I'm going to tell you, is trust him. All right? Trusting God means that we allow him to lead. We trust by believing that God knows best for us in our spouse and our kids and our friends and our income and our free time and our hobbies. God knows best. Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. According to Scripture, what can we trust God to do best for us? You can't see it, but I'm going to tell you. To guide us on the best path. To guide us on the best path. Do you know people travel across the country or sometimes across the world for a certain doctor? Why? Because they believe that doctor is the best. That they believe that doctor is the one they can trust with their lives, right? Who does the coach put the ball in the hands of? Coach puts the ball in the hands of the best shooter when you're down by 1 point and 5 seconds left in the game. Why? Because they believe that shooter has the best shot in winning the game. Trusting means that we actively surrender to God, you know? And we surrender to him this, our timing, because we want things done a certain time in a certain way, our big ideas, our passions. It's truly believing that God's guidance is best, right? Trusting God means we stop trying to make God see that our way is best. God, if you just give me a little more prayer time here, I'm going to prove to you that my idea is much better than yours. If our prayer time is spent more trying to make God do something, a plan that we already have, rather than listening to what God's plan is for our life, then we're not trusting him. We're trying to convince him that our plan is better. God, I know you said wait, but this person is pretty fine and someone else is going to pick him up. God, I know you said you want me to get out of debt first, but that purse is going to be out of season next year. God, I know you said that's not the college I want to go to, but I've always dreamed of going to that college, even though I know it's going to yield a huge college debt. God, I know you led me to this town, but I know that there's a church in need for me in Miami, Florida right now, right? When we don't trust God, we're spending more time convincing God of what we want rather than asking him what he wants. You know, and God gives blessings to those who trust him. Jeremiah 17 says, this is what the Lord says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. It sounds very bad. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. You want God's perfect guidance, you got to trust him. And that means really trust him. Not just say, I trust the Lord, but you live it out. The next thing our verse tells us that you cannot see is that we need to lean not on what we understand. We can't lean on what we know. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We are so limited in what we know and what we understand. And God wants us to just own up to that to him. I don't get everything, much less anything. I don't understand all that you understand, right? When the Golden Girls sat around the table eating cheesecake, they were limited. They didn't have infinite wisdom of the future. They didn't have infinite knowledge of all the players involved. They didn't know what the weather was going to be like the next day or what was going to happen in the stock market. They didn't know if a hurricane was going to come through Miami. They were limited in their knowledge, just like you and I are. That wisest friend that you go to is limited in their knowledge. Our thoughts, our understanding are one-dimensional. They're just here on this earth. But our Heavenly Father has that panoramic view, sees all the players, sees all the notions involved, knows every single thing. And I know it's a cliche to say that God knows everything and we can't understand it, but do we really believe that He knows everything? That He understands everything? And He wants us to actually say to Him, I don't get it, but you do, right? I don't understand why I'm going to change jobs, but you know. I don't know why I didn't get that job or that apartment or that class or make that team, but you know. I don't know why my kids are in serious trouble right now and I can't put one foot in front of the other or even breathe, but you know. I don't understand why this person got sick or you're struggling with an illness or this person had to die, but you know. I don't understand why this happened, but you know. It's saying, I don't have all the answers, and I'll never understand it, but you do. That's what it means. When we say it's not our understanding, it's your understanding, God says, you want my will for you, you want my direction? Give me some props here that you don't get the whole thing, but I do. If we want God's perfect guidance, accurate, perfect guidance, we gotta trust Him. We need to say that we don't understand, but we trust that He does. And we need to seek Him in all we do. Remember these lists? Really, honestly, if we laid out our first response when we're in trouble, it's usually not our lips going to God. It's our lips going to a whole lot of people and then going down to Him. Because we have our cheesecake meetings and our voxing groups and our barbershops and our online guidance meetings with lots of people, hashing out all our options and all our choices until we're plumb out of ideas. Nobody has a new idea anymore. Till you hit to a new blog or a new search engine or something new, we're out of ideas. And sometimes we've grabbed onto so many guidance from so many people that we're in a worse spot now than we were when we started. God, I'm going to give you sports reference because I know how you love that, you know, and how sportsy I am. God is never to be our third or fourth string quarterback, right? He should always be our first string. He has the best calls. I mean, he might not be in the Bears case, but He has the best calls, right? And He always delivers with perfect guidance. And He's a jealous God. And He says, I just want you to go to me first. I just want you to come to me first. And you know, He may direct you to another person. It's okay to have those communities. It's okay. He's put wise, godly people in your life. But He says, let me kind of lead you to that person. I want you to call on me first. And maybe I'll send you to this person for prayer or for support or because they've gone through it. And maybe that person will send you to another person, a professional help, or maybe a pastor or a teacher or something. But I want you to seek me first on this. I want you to call out to me first on this. Because ultimately, I'm the one that knows the path you're supposed to take. So how does God show us what paths to take? Oh, there's that verse that you might want to see. Trust in the Lord. Read it with me, all right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. And now that last part is missing. And He will show you which path to take. So you say, well, how do I know? You know, because God's there, I know He's everywhere, but how do I know? Like I said before, we go to other people because they give you a concrete answer. We want to audibly hear, do this. How do we know when God's telling us to do this? Well, you do the very first thing that Dorothy and Sophia and Blanche and Rose would do. They talk to each other. Tell God what's going on. He knows what's going on, but sometimes it's just nice to say it to Him. Tell God what's going on. Tell Him you don't know what to do. Tell Him you don't understand what's happening. Ask Him. And when you go to Him, ask Him with confidence. Ask Him with confidence. James says, though you're not going to see some of it, but there you go. If you If you are in need of wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who has divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He says, you're confused? Ask me with confidence. Don't just ask me because you feel like, oh, the pastor told me I should ask today, you know. Ask expecting God's going to answer you. Expect that you are going to be given some sign or some word or some peace or some person come up to you out of nowhere and tell you something, because that happens. But you got to ask with confidence. What do you want me to do? You know, he's not a wishing well. He is totally real, right? And he has the power and the ability to give you direction. So expect to get an answer from him when you go to him. He likes that confidence. He likes that you truly believe he is real. Second thing you're going to do, which you can't see there because I highlighted it, you're going to get into God's word. If you're a Pioneer Girl, you know this verse because this was our theme verse for Pioneer Girls. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. If you've ever had your car overheat, and I got corrected on what part it is, and you open the hood and you see smoke coming from your radiator cap, which I thought was a distributor cap, but I guess they don't make those anymore. So a radiator cap, and on it it says, don't turn this because you will burn yourself. You have to wait till your car cools down. There's a warning there because they do not want you to get hurt. God's word is so full of warnings. Warnings. This is God's guidance. It's full of do this, do this, but it's also full of warnings. If what you're about to do contradicts what God's word says, it's not God's will. That's how he works. If you're trying to finagle, but maybe it might be, it's never part of God's will. The warning is you're going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. His path never includes lies, immorality, unrighteousness, adultery, or any other sins of the flesh. Holding grudges, seeking revenge, half-truths, breaking local or government rules, dishonoring your parents, etc., etc., etc. It never includes that. A great way to know what God's guidance is get into the Word. If what you're about to do completely goes along with what Scripture says, you're on the right track. If it's full of warnings, stop. Stop. Just stop. You're going the wrong way. And the last thing, if we want to know what path he's taking, other than asking with confidence, going to God's Word, the last one, you're not going to be able to see it here, but it says the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. If you are new to Christianity, or you're just kind of exploring still, that's great. Keep exploring. We've got this weird thing that we have in Christianity called the Holy Spirit, all right? It's kind of weird. Sounds weird, you know? It still is odd to me that God would come down and house himself inside us as a spirit, but it's true. As weird as it is, it's true. God knew we need a one-on-one assistant. I may have 50 Holy Spirits living inside me because God knew they would be battling each other to do things. The point is, God says, I knew you needed a one-on-one help to navigate through this life. So I'm not only going to say that you can ask me and I'm going to give it to you, or you can look in God's word, but I'm going to give you a direct support group that travels with you at all times. And the thing about the Holy Spirit, the more you obey God, the more you follow God, the more intense you feel that Holy Spirit. And some people, you know, that don't really grasp the Holy Spirit, you say, well, I got this conscious. Yeah, because if you're made in God's image, you have the conscious of God in you. But the Holy Spirit is like that conscious on steroids, all right? It's that feeling like that you've experienced before, like all of a sudden you feel inside you got to talk to that person, or you have to call that person on the phone, or you have to make amends with that person, or for some reason you have to go into work today, even though you were not going to go into work today, or that feeling that you have to hug your wife today, or hug your husband today, or talk to your kids about something, or write a letter to somebody, or return your shopping cart. It's that feeling inside you that says, I have to listen to it because it's driving me crazy. Holy Spirit is that GPS for your soul, and it gives you supernatural guidance if you are willing to listen to it. If you don't listen to it, it's just a nag, and you wish it would go away. But if you are willing to listen to it, it is the Holy Spirit guiding you. And you know when it's really intense, when the warnings are going off that says, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be making this call. I shouldn't be flirting with my coworker. I shouldn't be making some small financial lies on my tax return. It's that warning sign that keeps going off. That's the Holy Spirit saying, stop right now. What you're doing is wrong. You're going down the wrong path. When Jesus comes into your life, when you say, Jesus is the only way to heaven, Jesus died for my sins, you get this gift of the Holy Spirit, and it comes to live inside you. And that's one of the very ways that you learn what God's path is for your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. Seek his will in all you do. The Golden Girls made great for Saturday night comedy. They were fantastic, right? And we can relate to the whole conflict and confusion about life and need for guidance. I mean, we had 173 episodes with it, with the Golden Girls. And maybe that's been your pattern, you know, because it's easy to get into this bad habit. Maybe it's been your pattern. You need some direction. First person you go to is everybody but God. But you can change that right now. You can change it by trusting in him. They were highlighted, but trusting in him, letting go of your own understanding, seeking him in everything you do, and then he promises you that if you ask in confidence, if you get into my word, his word, and you listen to the Holy Spirit, he is going to save you a lot of pain, a lot of bad paths, and a whole lot of calories from cheesecake if you just go to him first, because that's what he wants. Let's pray. Lord, I know that you've given all of us a lot of great people in our lives that are full of wisdom, who are in your world, in your word, and who are listening to the Holy Spirit. But Father, you've equipped us the same way. And you've asked, Lord, that for us to go directly to you first. Lord, I know in this room there's a lot of people who are in need of direction right now. Whether it's for a family member, for themselves, for their child, for their future, for their career, for money, for their marriage, for a friendship. And Father, right now in the silence of our own hearts, I'm going to give them a chance to come to you and ask you for guidance. And Lord, in that confidence of asking for guidance, I pray, Lord, that they would trust you. And that means, Father, stop trying to make you see what they see and just allow them to see what you see. And with that, Father, means listening to the warnings that you've already given them through their Holy Spirit, that they would listen to them, God. And also, Lord, that you would reveal to them through your word, through another person, Father, the next step that they are to take in the direction that they asked you for. You are our great go-to guy. You are always there, God. And you ask us in a jealous way that we come directly to you. So we are this morning. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.